All right, so we are reading from the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 2, text 45. Okay. Evam sa viplavita sarva dharma dasya patihi patito garya karmanha anipatyamano nilehe hata rataha sajo vimukto bhagavan nama grinhan evam sa viplavita sarva dharma vadharma dasya pati patito garya karmana nipachyamano nilaye hata vrata sadyo vimukto bhagavan namagranan. Evam, in this way, saha hi ajamil, aviplavita sarva dharmaha, who gave up all religious principles. Dasyapatihi. The husband of a prostitute. Patitaha. Fallen. Garya karmana. By being engaged in abominable activities. Nipatyamanaha. Falling. Niraye. In hellish life. Hatavrataha. Who broke all his vows. Sajaha. Immediately. Vimuktaha. Liberated. Bhagavat Nama. The holy name of the Lord. Grinan. Chanting. So, translation. Ajamil was a Brahmana who, because of bad association, had given up all Brahminical culture and religious principles. Becoming most fallen, he stole, drank, and performed other abominable acts. He even kept a prostitute. Thus, he was destined to be carried away to hell by the order carriers of Yamaraj, but he was immediately rescued simply by a glimpse of the chanting of the holy name Narayan. Let me just fix this thing. There's something wrong with this. What do you say? Oh, that's why. Okay. So there's no purport to this text, and the next text has a purport, so I'm just going to read the next text and its translation and Srila Prabhupada's purport. So, Nataparam karma nibhanda krintanan mumukshatam tirta padanu kirtanat nayatpuna karmasu sajate mantho rajastamo bhyam kalilam tatonyata. Therefore, one who desires freedom from material bondage should adopt the process of chanting and glorifying the name, fame, form, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, at whose feet all the holy places stand. One cannot derive the proper benefit from other methods, such as pious atonement, speculative knowledge, and meditation in mystic yoga, because even after following such methods, one takes the fruit of activities again, unable to control his mind, which is contaminated by the base qualities of nature, namely passion and ignorance. So, purport, by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It has actually been seen that even after achieving so-called perfection, many karmis, jnanis, and yogis become attached to material activities again. Many so-called swamis and yogis give up material activities as false jagadmitya, but after some time they nevertheless resume material activities by opening hospitals and schools or performing other activities for the benefit of the public. Sometimes they participate in politics, although still falsely declaring themselves sannyasis, members of the renounced order. The perfect conclusion, however, is that if one actually desires to get out of the material world, he must take to devotional service, which begins with Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. The Krishna consciousness movement has actually proved this. In the Western countries, many young boys who were addicted to drugs and who had many other bad habits, which they could not give up, abandoned all those propensities and very seriously engaged in chanting the glories of the Lord as soon as they joined the Krishna consciousness movement. In other words, this process is the perfect method of atonement for actions performed in Raja and Tama, passion and ignorance. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam in the first canto, second chapter, text 19, Tada rajas tamo bhavat kama loba deyaschaye chitaita renavitam stitam sattve prasiddhate. As a result of Rajan Tama, one becomes increasingly lusty and greedy. But when one takes to the process of chanting and hearing, one comes to the platform of goodness and becomes happy. As he advances in devotional service, all his doubts are completely eradicated. Vijate radiya grantish chidyante sarvasang shayaha. Thus the knot of his desire for fruitive activities is cut to pieces. So, Om Gana Timiranda Shah Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So this particular verse and the one before it are summarizing actually Parikshit Maharaj's question and the answer to Parikshit Maharaj's question at the beginning of the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Just to fill you in, Parikshit Maharaj has asked a question at the beginning of the sixth canto of Bhagavatam, and the reason he's asked that question is that he has just heard the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the fifth canto of Bhagavatam deals extensively with what we call the hells. Now, of course, in Christian theology, generally hell is depicted as some lake of fire. And in this lake of fire, you have, devils or something like that, which pitchforks. And you have, you're suffering. The soul is suffering eternally in a lake of fire. So in our understanding, we have more than a lake of fire. Actually, we're more advanced in understanding hell than any other religion in the world, right? And actually, there's different punishments, not just the lake of fire. There's different punishments for different people according to what they do. Like if you harass the people, the devotees on Sankirtan, you get to be put through a sugar cane press and rolled again and again and again. Of course, all the punishments in the hellish planets are done on someone's subtle body. So you don't really become unconscious. For example, if in this world, let's say you have a gross body, Panchamahabhuta, if you get to a certain level of pain, you become unconscious. And then you don't have to suffer anymore. And also when you go to the doctor, what do? Is they give you anesthesia. There's a reason I had some operations and they gave me anesthesia and I was very happy. They gave me one anesthesia that made me laugh more than normal. So it's like sodium pentothal, for those of you who don't know what it is. It's like a truth serum. So I also had to tell the truth. So, but in the heavenly planet, in the hellish planet, sorry, there's no anesthesia. It's not that the Yamaraj says, okay, it's time to punish you. Would you like a shot of Novocaine or something like that? No. You don't get any anesthesia. You just feel things in your subtle body. Because actually you experience the world through the mind anyway. Just like you may have a dream and nothing is happening grossly, but still you feel anxiety, pain, or something like that because of the identification with the material world. Because the actual reason we experience pain and pleasure is because of our attachment. This is called Buddhism 101. That you material world is suffering, and suffering is caused by attachment. Give up the attachment, give up the suffering, and of course then the Eightfold Path is actually the method to do that. So anyway, so your real suffering and enjoyment comes from the mind, not from the gross body. It's just how you interpret the symptoms of the gross body that determines whether you're suffering pain or pleasure. So anyway, so the Yamadutas, they do all these interesting things. They throw people off cliffs, make them walk up the hill again. And even though all their bones are broken in the subtle body, it's a lot of torture. Or, you know, if you're really romantic, you get to embrace the red-hot form of the opposite sex or white-hot form and you get burnt. And if you really like to drink liquor and you happen to be a Brahmin, you get to drink molten metal, which is really a nice drink. And they force you, what? Yeah, over and over again. Yeah, you get to do it, not just once. You know, just like if you... Yeah, you... Anyway, then there's the rurus, the interesting little creatures that are cute little creatures that torture you. So anyway, so you hear about all these things. And Parikshit Maharaj, of course, was not like us. When we hear about these things, we go, joy, it sounds great. Let people go there. Wow. Kill that demon. Torture that demon. But Parikshit Maharaj didn't say that. He said, how can people be relieved from this? That was his question to Shukadeva Goswami at the beginning of the canto, sixth canto of Bhagavatam. And Shukadeva Goswami doesn't give him a correct answer in the beginning. Wow, imagine your guru giving you a wrong answer to your question. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? The reason he gives him the wrong answer is because he's testing his disciple. He says to Parikshit Maharaj, actually the method of becoming free from the repeated journeys to the Yamaraja's planets is to undergo prayaschitta. Now, prayaschitta basically means that one undergoes atonement. That means atonement. So that means you do some fast or something like that, or you sleep on a bed of nails. Just like many years ago, I went into this place in London, actually, called Ripley's Believe It or Not. Anyone's been there? No, no one's been there. See, you can learn how I've been in Maya. So in this place, they actually showed the different atonements that the monks in the monasteries used to do. No one's heard of this before? One was like there's a hair shirt. I mean, it really makes you miserable. And that, and in this way, they atone and they get free from whatever they're getting free from. Anyway. And another one was this container that the monks would go into that had pins in it on all sides. So if you move, you get pierced by the pins. Another one was a rack. You know, rack where you get all your back pain gets relieved, you know, you stretch your back. Anyway, it was quite interesting. I said, wow, I'll never want to become a monk if that's what you have to do. Even there was one movie, I don't know if anyone's seen this movie, Da Vinci Code. Some of you see it? There was a monk who was engaged in self-flagellation. Self-flagellation means you take a whip and hit yourself or you cut yourself or something like that. It's called self-flagellation. You saw that in the movie? Okay. Some of you go to the movies. Some of you are Krishna conscious. You're not in Maya like me, seeing these. Well, anyway, it was a religious movie. So it's self-flagellation. That's called atonement. You understand? Do something that really tortures your body, makes you miserable. You know, you decide not to eat halva for 3 years or something like that. Or even worse, you don't eat pizza for 5 years, you know, so that's even worse than halva. Anyway, so and that way you get purified. They think you get purified. Actually, or you eat very little. But it's not, doesn't really purify you, because the Papa Bija, that means father, doesn't mean father Bija, it means the seed of sin remains in the heart, and also the Kuta, you know, the inclination to sin. And that seed may not fructify. This is basic philosophy from Nectar of Devotion, basically. Because you're undergoing tapasya, you're undergoing austerity. So the seed will remain there, but after some time, when the austerity finishes, the seed gets watered, as Prabhupada gave the example of the garbanzo seeds or beans, chickpeas. They were in the pyramids in Egypt, and they would, for 5,000 years, and after they watered them, they sprouted again. So that was Parikshit Maharaj's objection to his guru's instruction. So actually, Prabhupada said one should not blindly follow the guru. Prabhupada said blind following absurd inquiries are condemned, because the guru may just be testing you sometimes. Just like one time a brahmachari went to Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, I want to take sannyas." And Prabhupada said, "I think you should get married." And the next day, the devotee, or a few days later, the devotee brought his fiancée to meet Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was just testing him. He said, "Prabhupada, I'd like you to meet the girl of my dreams. But you just wanted to take sannyas 5 days ago." Anyway, so... So in this way, the guru sometimes will test the disciple. Actually, that's part of the procedure, the bona fide procedure in devotional service. Before one takes initiation, the disciple is tested. And the guru is also tested. You ask the guru, "Are you seeing Krishna all the time? Are you a gopi, Gurudev?" Because I want a guru who's a gopi. Anyway, so... That's not if you're just a coward boy, you know, you're not my guru. Because I can only advance as far as my guru is concerned. Anyway, of course, all of us in ISKCON, we have Prabhupada, so we can advance unlimitedly. So don't worry about it. So, anyway, so the guru is tested. Jai, shishi gornitai, gornitai ki jai. Guru is tested, the disciple is tested. And so Parikshit Maharaj was being tested by his guru. And he said, "No, Guru Maharaj, doesn't work." So anyway, there was some discussion. And ultimately, the conclusion was this wonderful verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto. Tasmat sankirtanam Vishnu. Jangan mangalang angasam mahatam apikarabhya vijikantika nishkritam. Anyone's heard this verse before? This is actually one of the real nutshell verses in the Bhagavatam. Tasmat sankirtan. Therefore, sankirtan, actually it's not sankirtan, sankirtan, which means both congregational chanting and complete absorbed chanting. Doesn't only mean congregational chanting. Vishnu, of Krishna, Vishnu. Atasmat sankirtanam Vishnu. Jangan mangalam angasam. It is the most auspicious activity in the universe. Mahat, and will free the universe from all sin. Mahatama pikaravya. Also the Mahatmas, they're doing it, and they recommend it. Kaurava, or best of the Kurus, Mahatama Bhikkhu, Vidyakantika Nishkritam. It's the best method of atonement. So this is basically the lesson of this part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that if you've deviated from Krishna consciousness, basically we all have to a certain extent, then you just pick yourself up again. Like if someone has some spiritual trouble, it's not that they have to undergo some special austerity. They just take up Krishna consciousness again. Just keep chanting and serving Krishna and presenting Krishna consciousness. Because also that doesn't mean that we should go and have trouble in Krishna consciousness. Like a Jamil, his deviation was accidental. It wasn't premeditated. There's a difference. Like Krishna says, in the Gita that my devotee, in spite of the most abominable actions, be considered saintly because he is rightly situated. Prabhupada said that abominable action that Krishna is referring to in that verse must be an accidental abominable action, not premeditated. Premeditated means you plan how to do it. Just like one time someone did something bad in the movement, not just one time, many times. Anyway, someone did something bad, and devotees asked Prabhupada, does that mean, wasn't so bad, or, he's considered saintly? And Prabhupada said, no, because he was planning how to do it. He was premeditating. So with Jamil, he fell down from Krishna consciousness, his spiritual activities, because of an accidental fall down. And he had some responsibility because he wasn't attentive insofar as taking bad association. It was a bad association, of course. It wasn't the bad association with the prostitute and the shudra that were embracing. It was a bad association with his mind, with the enjoying spirit. Sometimes we blame the object of our senses for our difficulties in devotional service. Sometimes brahmacharis do that. They blame the women for their attraction, which is kind of stupid. It's like blaming a pizza because you want to eat it. Isn't it? It's just saying, this stupid pizza. Sometimes people do that. When they want to become detached from a certain type of food, they start criticizing the food. Like Prabhupada was talking to a devotee who was criticizing the householders in a joking way. It was based on the story of Sakshi Gopal. I think most of you know the story of Sakshi Gopal. There were two brahmanas who were in a pilgrimage in Vrindavan, and there was a younger brahman, the older brahman. The younger brahman was helping the older brahman, and the older brahman said to the younger brahman that because you helped me so much, I promise you in front of the deity that my daughter can marry you. And so they went back to the village on the other side of India, like Bengal or Orissa. And the older Brahmin's family refused to honor the older Brahmin's promise to the younger Brahmin. And so, therefore, the younger Brahmin went to the deity, that's called Sakshi Gopal, and said that you have witnessed a promise, so you better come and witness it. You better tell us about it. And the deity, of course, said, Krishna said, the deities can't walk. And the younger Brahmin said to the deity, if you can talk, you can walk. The Prabhupada tells the story like that. He defeated Krishna in argumentation. So the deity walked all the way across India. Famous deity, Sakshi Gopal. He's in Orissa right now. Beautiful deity. Of course, we can't see him because we don't have Indian bodies. There's pictures of him on the internet. So Prabhupada told the story. Then this sannyasi said to Prabhupada, he said, if he was such a pure devotee that he could make the deity walk all the way across India, why did he want to get married? It didn't make sense to this sannyasi. He's a pure devotee. Why does he mess around like this? And so Prabhupada said, because no one would have you, that's why you're criticizing. Of course, it was all a joke. It was all in good humor. So sometimes people criticize the sense objects. It's not their fault. you know, you find sometimes there's animosity towards women, or the women may have animosity towards men, or whatever. But it's not the object of the senses' fault that you're in Maya. You're associating with the enjoying propensity. So we have to be careful about that. And even someone who is very advanced, even someone who is with Krishna directly, can succumb to the enjoying propensity. There's this story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna Das. He was directly serving Lord Chaitanya while Lord Chaitanya was in South India. And even as Lord Chaitanya's direct servant, he became bewildered by his own enjoying propensity by this group of gypsies called the Bhattaharis, to pronounce it properly. He became, because these Bhattaharis, they would win people to their organization by using ladies to lure them, like a, you know, worm on a hook or something like that. You know, you catch a fish. So they would send ladies out. Actually, there was one Christian organization during the 1960s that did that too. They were called the Children of God. So they would send... horrible. They would send ladies out, they call them like heavenly prostitutes or something like that, to attract men to their society. So anyway, so these Bhattaharis, they did that, and they attracted Krishna Das, who was directly with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I mean, directly with the Lord during his appearance on the earth planet, serving him as a personal servant. And he just went with them. Of course, Lord Chaitanya, being very merciful, he went to rescue his servant. And he went to the camp of the Bhattataris. And what he did is he said, I'm a sannyasi, you're taking my servant. Give him back. And these rascals, they came rushing to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with what we call choppers, you know, blades like that. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his Maya potency, he had those same blades turn on the Bhattataris and cut them to pieces. Nice story, isn't it? So anyway, so there... the whole reason I'm telling that story is that one should not think that they're a very advanced devotee. They're with the Lord. They're on a higher platform of devotional service. Because Maya can trap you. Your own desire to enjoy can trap you at any moment. In fact, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states, when he talks about the causes of anarthas or attraction to this world or unwanted things, he says that even advancement in devotional service can be a cause of these anarthas or attachments in this world. Not that being advanced is a cause, but the pride that comes when one gets some advancement in devotional service. I mean, for example, let's say if you were sitting chanting japa, and all of a sudden in your room, and all of a sudden Krishna came and spoke to you. That would be pretty cool, wouldn't it? He would say, "Hi, I'm Krishna." Hasn't happened to me, don't worry. But let's say if Krishna came and spoke to you, you would go out and you would just think, "Oh, these other stupid devotees here, you know. I'm more advanced than them." Or if you take sannyas, like me, you think you're better than everybody else. I'm a sannyasi and I couldn't be prouder. And if you don't like it, I'm going to chant a little louder. You know, so, or if you become, even worse, you become a guru. And then you think, I'm a guru. I'm a pure devotee of the Lord. I can do anything I want. Because it's all pastimes. So it's a big problem when you become advanced. You know, people admire, you have some realization. Wow, I got this realization. You know, Krishna gives you a little carrot. You get a realization. And so it's very, very dangerous. So Krishna Das had to succumb to that. So therefore, you know, Lord Chaitanya says, that the first quality of a Vaishnava is a satsanga jagi Vaishnavachar. That means avoiding bad association, especially with the mind. And how do you avoid bad association with the mind? Savaimana Krishna Padara Vindaya. You have to fix the mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. How do you do that? You do that by, while you're doing devotional service, think about why you're doing, what you're doing, how you're doing, and for whom you're doing. Oh, there's our professional devotee. Anyway, you have to go? What? Job. Maya. All right. Enjoy yourself. So, in other words, the whole point of devotional service, of the activities and processes of devotional service, is to fix our mind on Krishna. You know, just like the first rule, the first regulative principle is to always remember Krishna, and the second regulative principle is never forget Krishna. And all the other principles are subservient. So devotional service is executed with the subtle body, with the mind, not just externally. Otherwise, you're being subjected to niyamagraha. And when you're absorbed in Krishna like that with your mind, then there's no problem with illusion. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakar. Because the definition of illusion is what? Forgetfulness of Krishna. Like the verse I just quoted in Bengali, Krishna Surya Sama. That means Krishna is like the sun. Maya Haya Andhakar. Maya is the darkness of the absence of sun. Just like if you have a shadow or darkness, that's not a positive reality. That's just the absence of something. And in the Bhagavatam, we were talking about this yesterday, the Bhagavatam also says that Ritayuratam napratiyeta, napratiyeta chatmani, tadvidyadatmana omayam, yatabhasha, yatatamaha. Krishna describes that if you see anything in relation, without relationship to him, that's maya or illusion, or Krishna's illusory energy. So the whole point is to see everything in relationship to Krishna. Yomam pashati sarvatra sarvam jamai pashati tachaham na pranashyami sachame na pranashyati. To understand, see Krishna in everything, see Krishna everywhere, and then you're never lost to Krishna. And so the way you do that is while you're performing your devotional service, know what you're doing. You know what the mantras mean when you're chanting the mantras. Know what your intention is. And then even when you're doing things that are not, let's say, directly Shravanam Kirtan, let's say we're talking about Baladev, he's working a job. Remember why you're doing your job. Then your job can become ecstatic. Then your job, or your being in a job, can be the same as a sannyasi or a brahmachari serving in the temple. You understand? If the purpose, if you remember the purpose, the sankalpa, if you remember the purpose, what is that? Brahmarpanam, Brahmahavir, Brahmagno, Brahmanohutam, Brahmatena Gantavyam, Brahma Karma Samadhyam. That's also Bhagavad Gita. That if one works for Brahman, works for Krishna, with the intention, not just the body, but the mind, then that work becomes transcendental. It's like the ghee being offered in the fire. That's Krishna's metaphor, or actually analogy. Krishna's analogy, like the ghee being put in the fire, and then everything gets purified. The person doing the work gets purified. The ghee gets purified. The results of the work are purified, and that's devotional service. But we must fix our mind, and we must be very careful about association. And another, just one other thing, which I always talk about in this context, especially we should be careful about what we eat. Because if you eat food cooked by non-devotees, your mind will become wicked, like Grandfather Bhishma's mind became wicked because he ate food cooked in the kitchen of Duryodhana. And he followed the wrong path in spite of being a Mahajan. Of course, it's a pastime, but that was the example he's teaching us. So, any questions or comments? Questions, comments, problems, issues, complaints? No? Oh my God, yeah.
You mentioned that we should always think of Krishna, never forget Krishna.
Yeah.
There's one explanation, Ed, and I'm wondering what you think about it. That when you think of Krishna, you should always think of Krishna. Is that part of the instruction which directs you to direct service,
yeah,
chanting Bhagavatam, mm, and don't forget Krishna directs you to think of Krishna when it seems that things are not connected, or you do something,
yeah,
that are not directly connected.
Like if you're at work or something.
Or sleep, work, or going to the bathroom and things like that. Because there's always practical service always stops at one point, and there is
but it's connected direct, with the service.
Direct service always stops at one point. You can't physically do more because you have to take care of certain things. The body, yeah, that are not apparently... don't seem to be directly connected with the service.
Yeah, there's an indirect connection. Like if you're taking rest at night, you're resting so you can have the strength to do service the next day. So, yeah, so you should always try to connect everything you do. Like Yat Karoshi, Yat Ashnasi, Yat Yahoshi, Dadasi, Yat. Everything should be done as an offering to Krishna. Whatever you do, if you're taking care of your family, I'm taking care of my family for Krishna's sake, to raise them up in Krishna consciousness. Like that, whatever you're doing, whether you're eating, sleeping, whatever you're doing. Actually, in the Christian liturgy, they talk about one should worship the Lord when one's eating. They even say things like sitting, rising, sleeping. There's this particular verse in the Bible that states that. So in other words, our whole life should be worship. Whether you're a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, or sannyasa, whatever you are, you're worshiping because you're remembering why you're doing what you're doing. I mean, I always give the example of the lady who works in the bank, and she's able to tolerate working in the bank, you know, sitting in a little cubicle all day long, because she's thinking in love of her children or her husband. Just, you know, because she's doing it for a different purpose, apparently. She's not doing it because she basically likes sitting in the bank, but she's doing it because she likes serving her children and husband. So that we take things the same way, we'll always be bliss. Yes. Well, I don't think the husband would leave her, but maybe he would. But anyway. Yeah, I mean, the children. Not only comfort, but her children would starve or not, you know, would not have be able to go to university or something like that. So it's out of love. It's not something you it's not simply remembering Krishna, but remembering Krishna out of love. Yome bhakta priyachati. Krishna says, one should offer me leaf, fruit, water, etc. Or whatever you do, whatever you offer should be done as an offering to me. It should be done out of love. I'm doing this because I love Krishna. You know, sometimes I give the example in my own life that I have to go to GBC meetings. And they last sometimes 14 days of 7 hours a day. You know, it's cruel and unusual punishment. Actually, it's like something they would do in Yamaraj's planets. They'd send you to meetings for 2 weeks. You know, that would be a special punishment. Anyway, so, but then, you know, sometimes I'm sitting there thinking, oh my God, why am I here? Oh, help Krishna. Of course, it always helps to have a mobile phone to play with. But apart from that, when I start to remember I'm doing this for Prabhupada, then it actually becomes pleasant. Because when you're doing sacrifice out of love, then that sacrifice becomes a source of pleasure. Because it's loving exchange at that point. So that's how all of our lives should be, that sacrifice out of love. Love is the strongest attraction, the strongest force that there exists. I mean, bhakti. It can overcome everything. That's why we're bhakti. We're not hatha yogas like Prabhupada talks here about, you know, hatha yoga or whatever, or jnana yoga. They fall down. Because they don't have a higher taste, the Ruya Kachena Param Padam. They rise to Brahman. They realize, rising to Brahman means to realize you're not the body, that you're a spirit soul. I mean, it's not just like go up to some light and float around in a swimming pool up there. But it's, they realize, I am spirit. Wow, that's cool. I'm not the body. No more pain. But, because there's no love, they come down. And Prabhupada said they open up hospitals or whatever. Now, devotees open up hospitals, that's okay. But they do that for the purpose of preaching Krishna consciousness. Like if you go to our Bhaktivedanta hospital in India, it's nice because they have a Prabhupada deity there. It's not just a mundane hospital. What's that? Yeah, they take them around to all the hospital rooms. I mean, that's that type of hospital is fine. We don't mind that type of hospital. But if we're just mundane charity, or we distribute prasadam. Like Prabhupada said, anyone who lives within 10 miles of our Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir should not go hungry. So that's fun. Okay, any other questions? Quick questions. Okay. Ustedes.
Maya is like, he's saying he perceives Maya as a mother who's teaching you how to follow the correct path. Sometimes the pain is too hard and it's difficult to tolerate. How can we understand that?
Krishna and Maya won't give you more than you can deal with. Maya and Krishna will take you up to the point where it's almost intolerable, but they're not going to give you more. It's a test. It's also a test. And sometimes you fail the test, then you have to take the test again. Don't worry. No pain, no gain. No dolor, no ganancia. Entiende? That's Spanish. Anyway, so any... Yes.
You were speaking about the absorption of the mind.
Yeah.
And also now in this last answer that we have to have that attachment.
Yeah.
But how can one cultivate absorption on the level where one does not have the attachment yet for Krishna, even maybe for Guru? And but there is so much attachment to material things. So even one tries to cultivate absorption, yeah, the mind is just pulled in all other directions.
The solution is to find a devotee who is your role model. That's the solution. It has to be personal. Superior attachment always has to be personal, at least for Krishna and his devotee. In the beginning, you know, it's hard to have attachment just for Krishna or Krishna and Radharani. But we have attachment to, like we have attachment for Prabhupada or our spiritual master. And that keeps us going. Like I described when I go to the GBC meetings, that keeps us going. So we have to, how to develop attachment for a devotee? You hear about them. They become your role model. Just like in the material world, people have so many stupid role models. That's interesting, stupid. Anyway, Maya role models. Like nowadays, the kids have all these like superheroes, you know. Anyway, football. Yeah, I was just reading about a football player. Was it an American football? It's different than soccer. And in Europe, football means soccer. Someone's just signed a contract for $154 million, a 5-year contract. Pretty good, isn't it? $154 million, 5 years. You know, just. Oh, no, it was actually basketball player, sorry. Basketball, wasn't football. So, and then people look up to them, and they put pictures of them on their walls. Isn't it? You do that in the Brahmacharya and put football pictures? I mean, I sometimes when I'm going through the airports, I see, you know, they're playing football games or something like that, and everyone, even the women, are cheering and screaming, looking at that, and they're admiring the person. So, in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it says, the very same attachment that one has for a materialistic person, if you focus it on it, a spiritual personality, that'll be the cause of your Krishna consciousness. You understand? So you transfer that attachment. Yeah, obviously attachment for Krishna is just like really up there. But we can become attached to Krishna's devotee. I mean, whatever I am in Krishna consciousness because I'm attached to Prabhupada. I don't claim any other realization. But, you know, Prabhupada's my role model. I want to be like him when I grow up, of course. I guess I'm a little grown up already, but... You know, isn't it? I mean, it's exciting. You just think of what Prabhupada... So you got to hear about the person. To know the person. Like Prabhupada said, to know, love God, you have to hear about God or know God. So to love a pure devotee or want to emulate or be like them, you got to hear it. It's like hero worship. Practically everybody functions because of role models, I tell you that. Practically. And if you want to learn how to bring up children in Krishna consciousness, you have to give them good role models. Philosophy doesn't do it. You know, you could tell someone, you know, chant Hare Krishna, the Yamadutas will get you. If you don't chant Hare Krishna, it's not going to really get anyone to be Krishna conscious. But they just have to develop love for Krishna's devotee or devotees. That's the secret. And if one doesn't have that attachment, associate, hear, and the attachment will become like that. I mean, devotees don't hear enough about Prabhupada. In our movement today, I mean, very few devotees have read the Prabhupada Leelamrita or the other biographies about Prabhupada. Very few devotees. I'm shocked. I'm not going to ask people in class who has read. But you hear about Prabhupada, you want to be like that. You know, Prabhupada's a hero. Because, you know, at 70 years of age, he went to the Western world. That's a hero. A hero is not someone who doesn't risk anything. You know, that's not a hero. You know, what's the use of someone who goes hunting and he shoots deer? Is that a hero? No. Or someone who goes to Afghanistan and they're shooting people. You know, they're... Sending drones, yeah. That's not a hero. But someone who risks his life. Actually, in essence, Krishna is not a hero because he's not risking anything. Even though my name means servant of Krishna, who's a hero. Krishna's devotees are the real heroes because they risk everything. You know, if you're God, what are you risking? Isn't it? You're fighting with a demon, you're having fun, and even if you just want it, hey, finished. He's a hero, but I like the devotees better than Krishna. They're more heroic. I love Arjuna. He's my main character from the Mahabharata. And in the Ramayana, it's Hanuman. He's a hero. You know, Krishna just knows everything that's going on. He knows everything. You know, if you know everything, yeah, it's going to end up like this. I mean, not Yogamaya, he forgets, I understand. But the devotees are greater heroes than Krishna. What do you think?
I think it's fascinating how Krishna does things when the dress comes.
Oh, that's fascinating. But Krishna's not risking anything. Actually, No, I think it's fascinating, exciting, attractive, and everything like that. But just like in one of the Socratic dialogues, there's this whole discussion of who is a hero. You know, Socrates. And it turns out, you know, that the person who's actually risking something, not the person. So from that, you know, I know Krishna's a hero. Krishna, forgive me for not thinking you're a hero. But the devotee, I mean, what Prabhupada did is so exciting. And Krishna doesn't necessarily set an example for us to follow, whereas Prabhupada does. Yadyata charity shrestas tatat ivetaranjanaha. I mean, sometimes Krishna doesn't set good examples, like pinching babies and stuff like that. And stealing butter. I mean, what would happen if you go down to the kitchen and you just steal some butter there and you share it amongst the brahmacharis, you know, the monkeys? So, you get in trouble with the temple president, isn't it? Or with the cook. But you can't say, I was just following Krishna's example. Right? Or you start dancing with some of the brahmacharinas at night. Can you imagine? This is Krishna's example, you know. God, you know. He set an example. But Prabhupada, we have Prabhupada's example, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's example, and all these great acharyas. It's so exciting. I love the acharyas. I like Krishna too, he's okay. But but the devotees, I mean, really exciting, isn't it? Bhaktivinoda Thakur, really exciting. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Nrisinga Guru, very exciting. Okay, I think we have to end now because it's time for prasadam. And the tongue is the most voracious and uncontrollable. All glories to the divine grace. Shrila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Premananda.